Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Wednesday, February 14th, and love is in the air here at Locked On Pistons. It is Happy Valentine's Day to all of you guys. Listeners, I love you all very dearly. So this is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Find us on the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed as well, aptly named Locked On Pistons. And we got a Facebook page now as well. Find that at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. Give us a like on there and join in on the conversation. Today we're going to be looking ahead to tonight's opponent in Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit, the Atlanta Hawks. Are in town for Valentine's Day. The goddamn Atlanta Hawks, after the Dirty South Birds beat up on the Pistons on Sunday. The Pistons definitely owe them one to go into the break on a good note after this three-game losing streak looms over everything else. But a little bit later on the show, we're going to be talking to Corliss Williamson. I caught up with the Big Nasty. I say that as if we're old friends, that we caught up after all this time. But we had a quick conversation. It was actually under 5 minutes, so I apologize if it leaves you wanting more. He's an assistant coach with the Orlando Magic now, so I caught up with him as I was covering the Bulls Magic game the other day. He's on the bench for Frank Vogel's coaching staff right now and has had an extensive coaching career now at this point. We'll be talking about that too. We'll be looking around the league also in the country to see what some old Pistons are up to now that we got Corliss on our minds. Some interesting notes I've come across lately on where some of the old stars are for the Detroit Pistons past. But today is Wednesday, so that means it is Draft Wednesday. So fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people that have already downloaded Draft 2. Play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPISTONS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPISTONS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pistons listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free with me right now with promo code LOPISTONS. And we're going to be going and doing our Draft Wednesday site. So we've got a contest that we do every week on it. So follow me on the app at handle Matt Shook, and we'll invite you into the contest, hoping to fill up maybe two or three games today with all sorts of listeners, Pistons fans from around the world. Atlanta Hawks coming to Detroit tonight, coming in for the second of a back-to-back for them. The Pistons have beaten all the teams that they've played on back-to-backs in the Blake Griffin era and lost all the teams that have not been on a back-to-back. So that could be a good sign for the Pistons. The Hawks got beat by Giannis and company on Tuesday night in Milwaukee, 97-92. But another respectable game for a team that might be gaining a little bit of confidence as the season kind of winds down, which is different than what you might expect. You might expect them to kind of fall off completely now. They're 18-40 on the season. They're hopefully probably going to be losing for their organization's sake to kind of keep the tank alive. Dennis Schroeder had 18 points for them. Old friend Ersan Ilyasova led a late charge that ultimately fell short for the Hawks against another old friend, Chris Middleton, a name that should make Pistons fans shudder. He had 21 points, a game high for the Bucks in the win. But like I said, defensively, the Hawks have really bought in and improved throughout the year, despite being a little undersized on the wing. But just a team that's causing fits, you know, for the Pistons and the Bucks last night. And the Pistons lost to them in a disappointing game on Sunday that they played horribly during, but still should have won at the end. But some big plays, a lot of big misses from deep by Blake Griffin throughout. It was a frustrating thing to watch for Pistons fans. And I know there's a lot of fans out there that are probably watching and looking longingly and lovingly had a guy like Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Hawks, who used to have front office responsibilities but then got those stripped in this offseason. So maybe that could be a pretelling of what could happen to Stan Van Gundy in the future. But Budenholzer, the coach, is pushing all the right buttons defensively right now, while Stan Van Gundy is not. Now, obviously, again, this is an 18-40 team, a team that's going nowhere fast and is going to be relying on ping pong balls to hopefully get into that top six or seven of the draft to get one of the marquee names of this year's first round, but the Pistons will be coming into a home game tonight against the Hawks with high hopes of snapping the three-game losing streak before stopping for the All-Star break. The Pistons do not have another game until February 23rd, which is a week from Friday, so all sorts of time to mull this one over, and you don't want to go into the break with a four-game losing streak that includes two losses to the Atlanta Hawks, who still have the worst record in the Eastern Conference. And like I said, right in the thick of all those teams, they're at the bottom of the NBA that might end up with the most ping-pong balls going forward. Vegas likes the Pistons, 8.5-point favorites at home. Just looked that up here as I was going through some of the games. But a little bit later on, actually up next here on the podcast, we're going to be talking to Corliss Williamson, the former Detroit Piston, the big nasty from the University of Arkansas as well. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about some former Pistons who are out there in the world and what they're up to. Not an all-encompassing list, obviously, but just what some of those old names are up to, some coaching ones, and a couple interesting notes to pass along. But we got Corliss Williamson joining us here in a second. You remember Corliss first one from when he knocked off Juwan Howard and Jalen Rose in the Michigan team in the regional final, the Fab Five, the year after Chris Webber left. That was the Elite Eight game, and Arkansas won that game to go to the Final Four. They eventually won the NCAA title that year. That was the game where President Bill Clinton was in the stands, and Juwan had to take off his shorts because they had blood on them, and that was kind of a bad end to the Fab Five era with those guys, although Jackson and King would come back for their senior years next year. Corliss was the 13th pick in the 95 draft. He spent five seasons with Sacramento. Then he got traded in the offseason straight up for Doug Christie and went over to the Toronto Raptors. Then at the trade deadline of that year, he got traded to the Pistons. It was Corliss, Ty Corbin, and Cornell David, along with the 2005 first-round pick of the Pistons, which became Fran Vasquez after the NBA Finals loss to San Antonio. They got that. And the Pistons gave up Eric Montross and Junkyard Dog, Jerome Williams there too. So he played that year. Corliss played the rest of that year really well for Detroit, although they struggled in George Irvin's last year as coach of the team, and then played three more full seasons after that, after Rick Carlisle took over. Corliss was great in Detroit, although his production and minutes declined each season. He was in some ways early on in his Pistons career the most reliable offensive option at times, alongside Jerry Stackhouse, when Carlisle and that team made the step forward and the leap that eventually would lead to the 2004 championship, which Corliss played on that team as well. He played off the bench for Detroit and his whole time with the Pistons, and kind of feasted on lesser post players in that role. Then when Rashid came in for the trade deadline in 2004, it kind of marginalized Corliss a little bit, and this was midway through a six-year contract that he had signed with the Pistons after that half season. So he still had three more years left on the deal after the 2004 title team. And that's when Joe Dumars wanted to bring in an Antonio McDyess that offseason to kind of put some more life into the team for 2005's run, which eventually would go to Game 7 of the NBA Finals against the Spurs. So McDyess came in that offseason, and they had to move Corliss in mostly because of his contract and get it off the books so that you could bring in Dice for the long term, and that's what they had to deal him. So, but he did, like I said, he won the title, and then in that trade, he was traded to Philadelphia for Derek Coleman, another Detroiter, and Amal McCaskill, who was cut before training camp that year. Coleman went on to play five games with Detroit at age 37 that year, his last year in the NBA. Corliss was eventually traded to Sacramento from Philly that season for a package that included Chris Webber. And, of course, we know how Chris Webber, we're full circle now with the Michigan-Arkansas mini rivalry there. And then Webber would then be released by Philly because of his huge contract after the knee injuries. Detroit picked him up for the balance of the 2006-07 season, and which was almost his last year, although Webber would go on to play nine games with the Golden State Warriors the next season, and that actually ended his career. So that's the rundown of Corliss Williamson's time with the Pistons. I know you were curious, but let's get to the interview here now.
Okay, here with Corliss Williamson, the assistant coach for the Orlando Magic. Coach, going into the All-Star break here, how are things looking with a young team that's trying to get better every day?
Sitting pretty good. I mean, I like the way we're playing, even though we're not getting as many wins as we'd like to have, but we see our guys staying engaged regardless of our record, and we see a little bit of improvement every day. So that's all we can ask for right now, and pretty pleased with how they're working right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to 2004 with the Pistons, your championship ring there. What were some of the memories that stand out when you talk to some of those guys about your playing days and the days when you were on top of the NBA with Detroit?
You know, it was a lot of fun back then. You just kind of reminisce on the camaraderie, the times we spent together in the locker room, on the buses, in practice, and then you think about some of the accomplishments we were able to accomplish that year, just taking pride in our defense and everyone understanding their role. So it's a lot of fond memories. It's hard to pick just one or two instances that stick out in my mind, but just the whole experience, the whole process of getting to the championship, is just something that's always going to be memorable.
How have you kind of your coaching performance and tools in your toolbox, how has that evolved over the past couple of years? You're in college for a while and now with Sacramento and Orlando. What would you say that you've kind of made progress in as far as your coaching abilities?
I would say probably the details of it. You know, when I first started coaching, I coached AAU when I was still playing and then went into college. And you know, being in the NBA, you know, you don't have any other distractions. It's all basketball. You don't have to worry about chasing guys to school. So, to me, it's kind of like going back to grad school with basketball. So I had an opportunity to really learn the finer details of, you know, the defensive side of it as well as the offensive side. And I know that I'm a better coach than I was when I first started. And, you know, I'm happy with the progress I've made. And I've been underneath some great coaches who've done a good job of teaching not just their way or their philosophy, but also showing how to work in this business. So it's been a good process for me.
Looking around the league, obviously Detroit makes the big trade with the Clippers last week. As an observer with Blake Griffin coming over to Detroit, kind of been a team that's been a little irrelevant for a little while now. What do you think? Were you, first of all, hugely surprised that they made such a bold move? And what do you think that's going to shake down for them in the second half of the season and going forward?
You know, you have someone like Blake Griffin. I mean, I think that gives them some added firepower. You know, it kind of changes the dynamics of their team a little bit there. Detroit still got a special place in my heart, even though I'm coaching against them. I always want to see them do well, and hopefully things will go well for them. I think they're in position now to make a run in the second half. So we'll see what happens and see if it all works out for them.
Any other memories you want to share from back of your time back then?
I mean, it's, like I said, it's hard to just pick one or two out. I mean, just the whole experience, the fan base was always there, loyal and supporters. They appreciated, you know, our type of team. We were built for one another. We were a hard-working team, and it was a blue-collar town, a blue-collar city. So it was just like a match made in heaven with our team and the town.
Carlos Williamson, thanks for your time.
All right, well, thank you.
On the topic of Carlos Williamson, I wanted to visit some of the other old Pistons and talk about what they're doing in the coaching ranks. Corliss, by the way, coached at Arkansas Baptist after his playing career ended for 3 years, serving as head coach his final season, and then got the D1 promotion in Conway, Arkansas, to become the head guy at Central Arkansas, where he coached for 3 years but never got a winning season under his belt there. He left Central Arkansas, the Bears, to become an assistant with the Sacramento Kings. He spent 3 seasons there. He was a fan favorite in Northern California, as you know. And then he left there to become an assistant for Frank Vogel with the Magic, and he's now in his second year with the Magic there. So some other Pistons names that are out there on the coaching and front office fronts. Of course, we know that Chauncey Billups was mentioned as a possible candidate to take over the Cavaliers this past summer, but he's still on TV. And then we got Jerry Stackhouse. If you're an NBA head, you already know this about Stack, but he's kind of an up and coming possible head coach in the NBA in the future after retiring finally from the Brooklyn Nets in 2013. Stackhouse did some TV for the Pistons in the studio with Mateen Cleaves, as you might remember, but then he became an assistant coach with the Toronto Raptors for one season. But after that, he left the NBA and became a G League head coach instead, as he always thought that was a better route for him to kind of practice his coaching and possibly become a head coach in the NBA someday. He's now in his second year with the Raptors 905, the G League team for Toronto. They won the title last year, and Stackhouse was named G League Coach of the Year. The team went 39-11 during last year's regular season, and then are now 23-15 this season. They're
up near the top of the G League standings. They're the top defensive team in the league. He's getting guys. When you can get guys to play defense in the G League, then that's you know you're doing something right. He's coaching guys such as Kennedy Meeks of North Carolina, was the biggest name that I could find on the roster, the two-way guys for that franchise between the Raptors 905 and the big club in Toronto are Lorenzo Brown of NC State and Malcolm Miller of Holy Cross. But speaking of the G League, I wanted to pass along another note about a former beloved Piston, and that's what Ben Wallace might be up to soon. According to the Grand Rapids Press on February 4th, Ben Wallace was up at a recent Grand Rapids Drive game, kind of serving as a host for the night. He delivered the game ball for the pregame tip-off and all that kind of stuff. With minor league teams, it's kind of, you know, it's a normal thing for them to bring in a name from the professional ranks, a legend, to kind of sell some more tickets. So he talked to the crowd and the team before the game and after their shoot-around and everything like that. But apparently, it's not only just an appearance. He's in talks with the SSJ Group, which is apparently the owners of the Grand Rapids Drive organization, to possibly have a front office position with the team. So interesting that Ben Wallace is maybe planting the seeds for his possible front office career in basketball. So stay tuned for more news about that. And as the Stan Van Gundy era sometimes unravels a little bit for the Pistons, maybe fans might be interested to look at guys like Chauncey Billups as a possible guy leading the team. Maybe his former teammate Ben Wallace being involved with the organization, maybe Jerry Stackhouse being on the sidelines. So some things to think about, and of course, not the kind of stuff that Stan Van Gundy wants to hear about, but you know, some of the old guys are angling to possibly have careers above themselves. But it's All-Star Weekend coming up after the game against the Hawks on Wednesday, so we're going to be talking about All-Star Weekend, looking back at the Pistons through the years that have made the game and some highlights, and ask the question on Friday's podcast, who are the Pistons that were in the dunk contest? There were three of them. Andre Drummond was in it 2 years ago, but we're going to talk about that. And the one that I don't remember that happening at the time, but it was one that surprised me, and I went and watched the video. I can't believe I didn't remember it. We're going to talk about this on Friday's podcast, but feel free to cheat and check it out on YouTube if you want to get prepared. Check out a Pistons player in the dunk contest from the mid-90s. You'll laugh and enjoy it as I just did tonight. But we're going to be talking about the Hawks on Thursday, but first, it is Draft Wednesday right now, so download the Draft app, get on draft.com, so load some money into your new account, and use promo code LOPISTONS to get free sign up into our Locked On Pistons Draft Wednesday. I'll invite you into our private room if you follow me on the app. I'll get that draft started right here after I finish taping, so it'll be up by the time you hear this, and get involved and help out the podcast by getting involved in that, and also follow us on the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net, and give us a follow on Facebook, like the page Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well, and rate us on iTunes and give a subscription wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, where we're on right now too. But thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the game against the Hawks. Hopefully the Pistons can rebound and go into the break on a decent note, and we'll talk to you all again soon.